Once again, a very good afternoon to all. Let us continue with our study of the book of Nehemiah. Our text for last week was taken from Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 18, but we'll be looking at the same text again today. Because there are seven things in this passage I would like to highlight that we should observe. A complete study of Nehemiah chapter 8 verses 1 to 18 would not be possible without highlighting the seven things in this passage that we should observe. Let us not rush ahead to chapter 9 without first thoroughly looking at this passage once again. For purposes of recap, let us read through the passage one more time. Nehemiah chapter 8 verses 1 to 18. And again, I shall read it for you. Verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah, and on his right hand, and on his left hand, Pedaiah, and Mishael, and Melchiah, and Hashum, and Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua, and Benai, and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when he heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, Go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them, and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and the street of the gates of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that will come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Also, day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and he kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly, according unto the manner. The Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Let us bow our heads in prayer. O God, our Father, see us in our needy estate, and fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Help us to put all our attention onto your word this afternoon. For it's better to trust in what you have said than to put confidence in princes. Give us courage that dispels fear, strength that overcomes our frailty, and boldness that brings us to your throne of grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. H. A. Ironside once said, "In every genuine revival among God's people, the revealed word of the Lord has had a large place." It was so in Josiah's day and in the awakening under Hezekiah. It has been so throughout the church period. It was the recovery of the word that brought about the Reformation of the 16th century, and every true awakening since has been based upon Bible study and Bible practice. Ezra now appears on the scene in verse 1. It is remarkable that the people ask for instruction. Though they do not keep the law, they have a yearning after it. They are not contented with their existing condition, but desire better things. And they have an instinctive feeling that to hear God's word will help them. I would like to highlight that there are 7 things in Nehemiah chapter 8 verses 1 to 18 that we should observe. Roman numeral 1. The people were united waiting on God. The people were united waiting on God. This is found in verse 1. This verse reads, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate." The water gate, as we have observed some 3 months ago, under the message, "The Gates of Jerusalem," the water gate reminds us of the Word of God. It indicates something of the cleansing, refreshing, reviving power of the Word. What more fitting place to be for a company of people seeking divine instruction than the water gate? I wonder, how often do God's people today gather together with one mind and heart to learn His will from His all-sufficient Word? Not only were the people united waiting on God, Roman numeral 2, the people cried, "Bring the book!" The people cried, "Bring the book!" This is also found in verse 1, which further reads, "And he spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel." People may sneer and call this bibliolatry if they will. Worship of the book it is not. It is rather the acknowledgement that the author of the book is the all-wise and all-sufficient one who has so given his word so as to make it a safe guide in every time of confusion. Note that the people did not seek Ezra's opinion or Nehemiah's ideas. They asked for the word of God. Let us be careful never to put the ideas of man on a par with the teachings of the Bible. The people reunited waiting on God. The people cried, "Bring the book." Roman numeral 3. The people listened attentively to the reading of God's word. The people listened attentively to the reading of God's word. This is found in verses 2 to 4. This passage reads, "And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Maaseiah on his right hand, and on his left hand Pedaiah, and Mishael, and Melchiah, and Hashum, and Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Meshulam." This is most blessed. An attentive people solemnized by the word of God. So great was the company, a pulpit of wood was erected for Ezra, and on his right and left were companies of devoted Levites waiting to hear the word and explain it to the people. It was a day when books were not easily multiplied. Perhaps Ezra had only the Bible that was in all the land, but in the manner indicated, it was made the common property of all the people. The people were united waiting on God. The people cried, "Bring the book." The people listened attentively to the reading of God's word. Roman numeral 4. The people were in subjection to the word of God. The people were in subjection to the word of God. This is found in verses 5 to 8. Verses 5 to 8 reads, "And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, 'Amen, amen,' with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, Jeshua and Benai and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodijah, Maaseiah, Kalita, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place. So they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading." Who, there's any conscience at all, can fail to be touched by the reverence shown for the word of God? Such a Bible reading was no free and easy carnal coming together to argue over certain doctrines or debate intricate questions to the bewilderment of the people and the spiritual harm of the more advanced. Neither was it a place for some leader to shine and to have his interpretations received without question as the mind of the Lord. This great Bible reading was marked by a holy subjection to God and a hallowed reverence for his word that contrasts strikingly with modern flippancy and irreverence in handling holy things. to minister the word to such a company must have been both a great joy and a solemn responsibility for Ezra and the Levites as they caused the people to understand the law and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Verses 7 to 8. It needs to be borne in mind that after the captivity, Hebrew as a spoken language had largely been displaced by Aramaic. Hence the need of carefully explaining the Hebrew words to the waiting people. Next, Roman numeral 5. The Word of God is a source of joy and refreshment. The Word of God is a source of joy and refreshment. This is found in verses 9 to 12. Let us look at this passage. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Their awakened consciences told the people how guilty they had been in refusing to obey the word of God. But their tears of penitence testified to the self-judgment that was going on. And with God, sin judged is sin put away. Hence the cheering words of verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Jews rejoiced. But how much deeper the joy today, the light of a full gospel, when saints gather about a risen Christ and his word is brought home to each heart in the power of the Holy Spirit. Moving on, Roman numeral 7. The word of God is to be obeyed. The word of God is to be obeyed. This is found in verses 13 to 17. These verses read, and on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, everyone upon the roof of his house and their courts and the courts of the house of God and the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. On the second day, the reading of the word was continued. And the people discovered that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. Verse 14. Now this was at once recognized as a challenge to obedience. Here was something that had been unobserved for 1,000 years, and still it was in the book. To obey it required considerable inconvenience, but they found it written, and that settled it for an obedient people. So the people made themselves booths, and there was very great gladness. Verses 16 to 17. What a lovely example of unquestioning obedience to the word. Lastly, Roman numeral 7. The word of God is all sufficient for every experience of life. The word of God is all sufficient for every experience of life. Verse 18 reads, also day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and he kept the feast 7 days, and on the 8th day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. The people kept the feast 7 days, and on the 8th day was a solemn assembly. Commenting on this verse, H.A. Ironside wrote, those 7 days looked on to the millennial kingdom when the Lord shall be surrounded by a happy, redeemed people. The 8th day bringing an outlook into eternity. But what I would like to focus on is this portion of the verse. Day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. Throughout time, the word of God contains all his people need for spiritual food and daily guidance. Oh, for grace ever to hide that word in our hearts, thus to be kept from sin, and to have our steps ordered accordingly, and every thought brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. With these 7 things in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 18, that we should observe, we bring the study of Nehemiah chapter 8 to a close. The people were united, waiting on God. The people cried, bring the book. The people listened attentively to the reading of God's word. The people were in subjection to the word of God. How do you regard God's word individually and collectively? Andrew Murray said, a readiness to believe every promise implicitly, to obey every command unhesitatingly, to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God is the only true spirit of Bible study. The Word of God is a source of joy and refreshment. The Word of God is to be obeyed. The word of God is all sufficient for every experience of life. What is the word of God to you? An unknown author once wrote, this book is habit forming. Regular use causes loss, anxiety, decreased appetite for lying, cheating, stealing, hating. Symptoms, increased sensations of love, peace, joy, and compassion. And D.L. Moody said, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. Thy guiding grace afford, teach me thy way. Help me to walk aright, more by faith, less by sight. Lead me with heavenly light. Teach me thy way. When I'm sad at heart, teach me thy way. When earthly joys depart, teach me thy way. In hours of loneliness, in times of dire distress, in failure or success, teach me thy way. When doubts and fears arise, teach me thy way. When storms o'erspread the skies, teach me thy way. Shine through the cloud and rain, through sorrow, toil, and pain, make thou my pathway plain. Teach me thy way. Long as my life shall last, teach me thy way. Where'er my lot be cast, teach me thy way. Until the race is run, until the journey's done, until the crown is won, teach me thy way.